Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Five of my best with Man Parrish. Now, stay to the end because he'll tell you what his number one song is. Now, don't forget, subscribe. It allows you to find out when I upload something new on the channel. And of course, it helps me. Here's Man Parrish. Man Parrish, welcome. Five of your best. So I'm going to go through these tracks and ask you a few questions about them.
Start well, I was going to do five Mariah Carey Christmas songs, but I thought there'd be riots in the capitals all around the country, or all around the world. So I gave mine instead.
Brilliant. One of them you got down is Situation, which is a remake, obviously.
Yeah, was Situation blew my mind. You know, Vince Clarke, he's an idol of mine. And it was, other than Kraftwerk, it's an incredible use of synthesizer. And it is one of my favorites.
Yeah, it was a B-side, wasn't it, to Only You, which I think got into the Billboard chart.
Well, here it was the other way around. Here it was an A-side and the B-side was Only You.
Francois Kevorkian, who you would know, yep, remixed Situation.
They had to change their name. I forgot what it was. It was something and they had to change it to Yazoo. There was some sort of controversy over some American band that had a similar name.
So tell me about your cover. What was your intention? What did you want to add to? I mean, if it's one of your favorite tracks, it's really not an easy task to make your own version and be happy with it, is it?
I just love the song so much, I thought I'd give my spin on it. I have a new album and I did some cover tunes and I'm basically doing my spin on it. You know what I mean? So it was my spin. It was all vocoder vocals. And it's a song that I love. So it wasn't that hard to do. You love something, you kind of do it and you're happy.
Yeah, one of the tracks you chose of yours, Man Made, is one of my favorite tracks.
Oh, thank you. Well, when I set out to do music, I wanted to be like Vince Clarke. I wanted to have pop songs, but I couldn't sing, so I used the vocoder. And that has song structure to it, unlike hip-hop, bebop, my other song. And I wanted to copy what the Brits were doing with electro. So that was my closest thing. It was a Kraftwerk meets Yazoo. Yaz. It was someplace it was Yaz and someplace it was Yazoo. That was the controversy on the group because there was a Yazoo thing, I think, over here, and they had to call them Yaz, Y-A-Z. Anyway, I wanted to emulate that, and that's what I wanted to be like. And Man Made was a Kraftwerk-y, you know, Depeche Mode-y, Human League-y synthesizer, kind of dark 80s song.
Yeah, it's one of those tracks that so many people love and so many people cite as like...
I have a live version of it from some festival a million years ago. I'm trying to find out where I did it so I can credit it, but there's a live version of it, which is really, really good. I'll probably put it out soon.
And it's got this synth at the end, hasn't it? Which you sort of... Yeah, that which is brilliant.
But all that was created with two synthesizers, a Prophet 5, a Prophet 1... And an 808 drum machine. That was my whole album. So there are only two synthesizers on that whole entire album and that song.
Yeah, and I found a video to it today. It starts off soaring through the skies and landing somewhere on Earth. We discovered an alien.
Yeah, so that was the we did a live show. So that was the beginning to my man-made. Just trying to be theatrical, you know. And that was the beginning to the live show. I'd stand on stage and I had this Darth Vader hood, and blue light and smoke would come out of my hood and fill the stage up with dry ice while that went on. And then we had this creature that came out and had pulled my hood off, and there I was, you know, oh my God, he's a white guy, or, you know, she looks like a robot, you know, some queen, mad queen with makeup and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it was, that was the beginning of the show, and I loved it.
And you must have been riding really high at that period, because that period was really happening for you, wasn't it? 82, around then.
Yeah, and it's funny, because I didn't know I was riding high. I was just, I've always wanted to be a band, but to this day, I can't read or write music. So when Vocoder came out, I could sing. When a programmable drum machine like the 808 came out, I could complete my band. I could do the keyboards, I could do the bass. I couldn't do the drums, but the 808 drum machine, I could now be a complete band. And I just did my thing, so to speak. You know, before that, I was doing ambient music because I couldn't pull together a band. So I was, you know, what's interesting is a lot of groups in those days were one hit. I don't want to say one hit wonders, but they had Song Shannon and Planet Rock and all that kind of stuff. In those days, if you didn't have an album, you weren't a real musician. And I happened to have an album, which was a big boost to how people saw me. So the fact that I did not the first electronic album, Kraftwerk did it, but the fact that I did that really helped my career.
So you went on stage and then they were surprised that you were a white guy. I mean, if we
because over here, Hip Hop Bebop was the big song in Boogie Down Bronx, and that played in urban radio and urban clubs and black stations. So when I got to these places, it's like, not only were we white, but we were screaming gay white with makeup and you know, had guys twirling with skirts on, and, you know, graffiti jackets that were made by Kanza Yamamoto, who did David Bowie's outfits. So we were a big stage show when everybody was like, yo, what's up with Fila hats and Kango, you know, and your street. And we came gliding in like, you know, the Duchess of Bensonhurst, where I used to live. And, you know, we turned out this show and we're like, what the hell is that? So, yeah. We kind of stood out.
Let's talk about Boogie Down Bronx now then, because we're sure. Sort of, in a way, onto that. Boogie Down Bronx is what the Bronx was called, wasn't it?
Because yes, it was called the Boogie Down Bronx because there was it was largely urban, funky, black, Spanish, and there were a couple of clubs up there that played funk or boogie music. And I lived in Brooklyn. I did not live in the Bronx. The we're doing a follow-up record. I did it in my bedroom at home. My albums were done in my bedroom. Village People were there. Boy George came to my bedroom. You know, it was this bedroom studio that I did all the stuff in. Kind of like was Flying Lizards. Their money was done on a 4-track home tape recorder and made a huge thing. I was just one step up from there. And there's a kid who used to sit on my steps all the time. And every time I walked home, hey, yo, man, Parrish and Cool Raul, cooler than the water in the swimming pool. And I said, hey, bro, what's up, whatever. And I went upstairs. We did this record. And I said, we need somebody to sing on this. And Raul, who was with me, said, why don't we get that kid? Let's see if he's downstairs. And sure enough, he was still down there. He said, you want to come up and be on a record? And it was literally like that. He came up and he said, I said, I don't know if we're ever going to get paid on this. Probably not. And I never was. I said, but if you want to be on a record, I'm just letting you know up front. And he did all that live in one take. I rewound the tape and then I fed his voice through the vocoder, which, by the way, is the same vocoder that Electric Light Orchestra used on Mr. Blue Sky. I bought their vocoder at a shop. It's got history behind it. And I doubled it. I played the musical version behind him. And nobody had done, they'd done vocoder, they'd done voice, but they never double tracked it. So it gave it a sound. And he started with, you know, Boogie Down Bronx, you know, Boogie Down Bronx is the place to be, but Brooklyn is where I stay in reality. So we were Brooklyn kids, but, you know, the Bronx was a very cool, well, New York City then was really tough, actually, not a cool place to live. I mean, you get killed. The South Bronx was called Fort Apache because it was really like, whew, you know, you'd be lucky if you made it 10 blocks without getting mugged or killed. So, yeah, you know, it was cool. A lot of people came out of the Bronx, Afrika Mbata, a lot of other people, you know, it was a sound that was very organic and in the streets.
So this guy was Freeze Force.
Yeah, that's what he called it. His name is John Carter, John Ski from the Freeze Force crew. It's just him, you know what I mean? So everybody had a tag name back then. You know, my name came from Andy Warhol. I was Manny Parrish. He wanted to put me in I was going to be in Interview magazine. Oh, Manny's too common. Let's make you Man. And I'm like, I don't care. Just put my name in the face of the paper. I'll show my friends. I said, why Man? He said, Man Ray was a photographer, so you could be Man Parrish instead of Man Ray. And you know, Andy Warhol named me. Great. How cool is that, right? Man, it's pretty cool.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Every time I go and look at your videos or your music on YouTube, all the comments below, have you read them? They're just amazing. It's just people who it changed their lives.
Steve, I've never been paid on those records, and I'm still chasing publishing to this day. It's one of those classic things where I sign away my life, you know what I mean, on one paragraph, and unfair, and little by little, we're gaining our, you know, my stuff back. But those comments are worth millions of dollars, and I mean, they touch my heart. I sometimes cry over those things, believe it or not, because they're so touching. You know, it's like, I've never heard music like this. You've changed my life. You're a legend. You're this, you're that. And I'm like, I'm not that guy, but okay, I'll take it. You know what I mean? I didn't set out to do something incredible, but everybody else thinks it's incredible. And in fact, I was ashamed of that record, that Boogie Down Bronx Hip Hop Bebop, because it didn't have a bridge, a verse, a chorus. It was kind of like a freeform dance, electronic dance track with dog barking and stuff like that. And I said, you can't put this out. You know, Man Made is the single. People are going to laugh at me, but it broke through. And even to this day, there's videos online of kids that breakdance, you know, their parents put the needle on. These little kids are breakdancing to it. So I'm very honored. And you know, it was another, I got paid that way.
Hip Hop Bebop was a defining moment. And I think
to everybody else but me, I just did a record. You know what I mean? It was kind of, to me, it was a freeform art piece, rhythmic piece with some drums, you know what I mean? And then we had to figure out how to put the barking and all that stuff on there, which is a whole other story that I could tell, but I don't know what kind of time you have.
Yeah, no, go for it. Let's hear.
Oh, okay. So there's dog barking on that, which was a big thing in the Bronx or the clubs. If the kids liked a record, they go hoo, 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 in the club, letting the DJ know this is cool. So when we had Hip Hop Bebop, it was an instrumental thing with like Herbie Hancock's Rocket. There's no voice on there. So Raul said, let me take you to the Fun House in New York. John Jellybean Benitez is a well-known DJ from back there. We went into the DJ booth, which was, I don't know, the size of a living room in those days. Arthur Baker was there. Afrika Mbata, which I just did a record with recently called Boom Boom. And there's a girl standing next to John Benitez with long black hair, hairy armpits, and we used to call her the skank, and a t-shirt that said, I'm Madonna. Right? So I know her before she was famous. And Jelly Bean puts on a record, and all of a sudden, I hear "ooh, ooh, ooh" from out in the club. And I was like, "What's going on? You know, is that the fire alarm? Like, do we have to get out of here?" He goes, "No. This is really cool. They like the record." I said, "Why don't we bark on that hip hop bebop? Well, it wasn't called hip hop bebop then, but that record, and we'll have a fun little thing. We'll just bark at the audience. They'll bark back at us on a Saturday night, case closed. It'll be a one-time little novelty thing." Well, how did I know that I was defining an era, a moment in the clubs? And that dog barking, for anybody who was in clubs, it was a pivotal thing, because I was speaking or saying the very thing that they did, or documenting it. You know what I mean? It was supposed to be a gag, but it turned into that record. So that dog barking is not just random. It's actually very specific. But like I said, it was only meant to be, you know, put the needle on, play it once, and you'll never play it again, probably.
So let's talk about the wait from music for film.
So, go ahead, if you want to.
Well, no, for me, because it's such it's just wonderful, and it's completely different. It's just not something you expect.
And that's exactly why I did it, because I do dance music. People know me as dance music. If it was man to man, we were copying the Stock Aitken Waterman type of high energy stuff, or hip hop bebop, Boogie Down Bronx, the street stuff in New York, or Kraftwerk. But I can't read or write music, but I can score 200 person orchestra, and I can do classical music, and people don't know that. I just dabble, and these things come out. I have an album called Beautiful, which is like this song called The Wait. But The Wait was very touching. And I'm such a pussy, but I was sitting there doing it and kind of crying. And I thought, oh, you get a hold of yourself, you sappy thing, you. But I feel like it's just a very deep emotional thing that came from deep down inside of me and got out. So there's other songs, other pieces of music on there too, but The Wait is very personal. It just kind of, it really shows my soul. Not my whole, myself.
Well, I'm just going to read out the top five. So you've got Situation, Your Version, Man Made, The Wait, Boogie Down Bronx, and Hip Hop Bebop. Out of those five, what for you really remains as your own personal favorite?
The other stuff is what people expect. But The Wait is really something that you don't expect. And I'm not doing it to be different. That's more of... the other records I was either emulating or trying to do something or making a dance record. The Wait is just very raw for me. It's just a piece of, if you haven't heard it, anybody who's listening, it's there's piano and some operatic voice and stuff like that. But I grew up listening to Vangelis and all that stuff, so it's kind of like this, just a deep, it's just raw, it's emotion to me. So I love that one the best.
Man Parrish, brilliant, thank you.
No, absolutely.
Up there is an interview I recommend. Down there is where you can find all the podcast interviews. And here is where you can connect.